I'm Carla Brennan, one of the primary teachers here at Vipassana Santa Cruz. After I volunteered to speak tonight, I realized I would be competing with Barack Obama and his acceptance speech. And so I decided I was going to do my own acceptance speech. So I'm going to talk about acceptance tonight. And also, since the Democratic platform is based on change, I thought I'd talk about change as well. Of course, it's hard not to talk about change when you're giving a Buddhist talk of some kind. So this word acceptance, which is often used in meditation instructions and different kinds of Dharma explanations and all kinds of talks, I think it's a key concept in what we're doing here. And it's a concept that's often greatly misunderstood. Part of the problem is that the word acceptance, like most words in English, I suppose, has many different nuanced meanings. And when we use acceptance in relationship to meditation and mindfulness and the path itself, it has a particular meaning. So I want to elaborate on that tonight. There may be a better word, but I'm not sure what it is, or a different word. Perhaps a word in there's a word in Pali that is more accurate. So accepting in this context, acceptance on our path, is really that the basic definition you might be not resisting. What it means to accept means to not resist. So I'm calling this talk Acceptance, the Path of No Resistance. So it's even less than least resistance. It's acceptance here means the not struggling with what is, not struggling with what is true, not struggling with the moment. I looked up several definitions of acceptance, and there was a simple one that I kind of liked, and it was the receiving of something offered. Acceptance means the receiving of something offered. So what is being offered here? Well, when we talk about it in this context, what's being offered here is the universe. What's being offered here is your life. What's being offered here is your experience. What's being offered is this very moment, just as it is. And so when we practice acceptance, we're practicing the non-resistance and the non-struggle towards what is in this moment. And acceptance, in this context, has a kind of, you might say, profound openness, a kind of profound ease about it. This is from Tara Brach in her book, Radical Acceptance. Perhaps the greatest tragedy in our lives is that freedom is possible, yet we can pass our years trapped in the same old patterns. The way out of our cage begins with accepting absolutely everything about ourselves and our lives by embracing with wakefulness and care our moment-to-moment experience. By accepting absolutely everything, what I mean is that we are aware of what is happening within our body and mind in any given moment, without trying to control or judge or pull away. I do not mean that we are putting up with harmful behavior, our own or others. This that I'm speaking of is an inner process of accepting our actual present moment experience. So you might think of acceptance as even the ground or the precursor to mindfulness. And it is this willingness, again and again, to see the universe as it is. Not how we want it to be, not how we think it should be, not how we, not with our picking and choosing, but to actually see what is arising as it is right now. And this is actually a very courageous stance. It takes a kind of faith in our wakefulness, a greater faith in our wakefulness than in our defenses and our fears and our projections and our ideas about things. And a greater faith in awareness than in the small and large ways that we try to control things, that we try to manipulate things. And it takes a great willingness and courage to be willing to accept what is in order to see, in order to learn, in order to actually embrace what is. It takes a courage to accept means to take the to have the courage of not knowing, to have the courage of being willing to open to the unknown, instead of relying on all kinds of preconceived notions and ideas about what is. This is from Pema Chodron. If your everyday practice is to open, in other words, to accept, is to open to all your emotions, to all the people you meet, to all the situations you encounter, without closing down, trusting that you can do that, then that will take you as far as you can go, and then you'll understand all the teachings that anyone has ever taught. So as we practice this simple, so-called simple, technique of mindfulness in our meditation, paying attention to breath, to sound, to sensations, we're connecting to what is happening instead of, again, rejecting and pushing away. So the simplest process of our mindfulness practice is this practice of accepting, is this practice of opening, is this practice of being willing to be there with things as they are. And if we look at what we often don't accept or unwilling to accept, it's all different varieties of our experience that we try to reject and push away. It's sometimes the direct information, the direct understanding that we sometimes reject and push away. The simple truths of reality, of life and death, that we don't want to accept. We don't want to accept change, the endless, continuous flow of change. And we ultimately often don't want to accept the nature of death. And if we look at the different ways and the different forms we don't accept, of non-accepting, of this resistance, of this struggle against reality, it's often a kind of tightening up against, an armoring against what we actually experience. And it's usually accompanied with a lot of judgment, a lot of ideas about how things should or shouldn't be, who we are or who we aren't, what is allowable and what isn't, what kinds of feelings and sensations and thoughts we are okay or we can have or can't have. It's invested in a lot of what's okay, what's not, I'm okay, I'm not, and what to let, what we want to let others know about us or what we don't want to know. You know, liking and disliking has nothing to do really with accepting. To accept what is just, again, to be open and direct and here for what is unfolding in this moment. We may like it, we may not like it, it doesn't matter. But we are here and awake to what is actually happening and arising. Not accepting this kind of struggle with, this resistance against reality, doesn't do anything except cut us off from ourselves and each other and from the truth and wisdom that is actually appearing to us again and again. Not resisting and struggling, not accepting and resisting and struggling is usually because we're caught up in our old stories. We're living out our old stories again about ourselves, about each other. Carl Rogers, the well-known psychotherapist, said, "The curious paradox is that when I accept myself as I am, then I can change. When I accept myself as I am, then I can change." So acceptance is the precursor to a profound, natural unfolding and flourishing and flowering of our own spiritual process. Non-acceptance, based in often self-judgment, keeps us blocked, keeps us closed, keeps us in our cages, keeps the parts that of us that actually need to be revealed and seen and felt from going through the natural process of healing and awakening. Robert Bly, the poet, said, "Every part of us that we do not learn to love will become hostile towards us. Every part of us that we do not learn to love will become hostile towards us." So acceptance is about embracing the full range, the full aspect of our own experience without taking it personally, without judgment. It's, again, a kind of courageous act to actually embrace our folly, our mistakes, our weaknesses. And Joko Beck says, "We have to face the pain we have been running from. In fact, we need to learn to rest in it and to let its searing power transform us." If we run from our own experience, if we run from our own pain, if we run from our own discomfort, if we shut down to what actually is, we actually cut ourselves off from that which can awaken us and transform us. Shanti Deva, a great Buddhist teacher from India many centuries ago, said a kind of, in a way, a counterintuitive statement, which I like. He said, "We're not here to change the world. We're here to let the world change us." And to let the world change us means we need to be open and present and here and paying attention. Acceptance means doing the practice of starting where you are. Starting where you are is a nice title of one of Pema Chodron's books. So what does starting where you are mean? It means this moment is always fresh, and this moment is always a beginning. And this moment is the moment where we can actually respond to what is going on. If we're embracing our mistakes and our weaknesses, and we can respond to what is going on with immediacy and directness. We can respond to what's going on and allow a kind of, there's a kind of richness and fertile ground, a kind of whatever's going on becomes a manure and fertilizer for awakening. We're not caught up in all the past, again, past ideas of ourselves. We're not caught up in our shame and our hiding. We're not caught up in reliving, replaying past experiences. We're able to start right now with what's happening right here. And making this shift from seeing the world as seeing what's going on as I'm making a mistake, or this is wrong, or this is right, or this should be happening, or this shouldn't be happening, to actually the immediate and open engagement and connection and taking the opportunity of every moment to allow us to learn and to find wisdom and to awaken is really what the path is about. And this is a quote from Carlos Castaneda, attributed to Don Juan. The basic difference between an ordinary man and a warrior, and that would be a spiritual warrior, the basic difference between an ordinary man and a warrior is that a warrior takes everything as a challenge, while an ordinary man takes everything as a blessing or a curse. So we live life fully in the present without jumping to assumptions or conclusions. We don't add on these elaborate interpretations and projections. And I think I will invoke at this point a story, which probably most of you have heard many times, perhaps. And this is the story of the Chinese farmer. There is a Chinese story of an old farmer who had an old horse for tilling his fields. One day the horse escaped into the hills, and when all the farmer's neighbors sympathized with the old man over his bad luck, the farmer replied, "Bad luck, good luck, who knows?" A week later the horse returned with a herd of wild horses from the hills, and this time the neighbors congratulated the farmer on his good luck. And his reply was, "Good luck, bad luck, who knows?" Then when the farmer's son was attempting to tame one of the wild horses, he fell off its back and broke his leg. Everyone thought this very bad luck. Not the farmer, whose only reaction was, "Bad luck, good luck, who knows?" Some weeks later, the army marched in the village and conscripted every able-bodied youth they could find. When they saw the farmer's son with his broken leg, they let him off. Now was that good luck, bad luck? Who knows? But often we're sort of caught up in our own story, our own interpretation of, is the story going well? Is it going right? Is it going the way I want? Is this a good story? Is this a bad story? Am I the protagonist in the story? Am I the hero or am I the villain? Instead, we can, again, just live with the fullness of the moment. Many years ago, I had in line with the Chinese farmer's story, I had a very bad accident to my hand, my left hand, which was severely injured. And at the time, it seemed like a bad luck. And to this day, I wouldn't wish that kind of accident and all the reconstructive surgery and so forth that went on with that. And yet I'm very aware that that experience created opportunities and doors to many, many wonderful things. I ended up living off of, it was a work-related accident, so I worked compensation for a few years, and I spent those years doing lots of intensive retreat. And so you can, we're so quick to judge and interpret experiences. I like this, I don't like this, this is good for me, this is bad for me, this is what I want, this is not what I want, this proves that I'm okay, this proves that I'm not okay. Eventually, with acceptance and openness and presence, all that begins to drop away, and we're just living fully and, again, responding to what is. You know, we spend a lot of time not accepting ourselves, but we also spend a lot of time not accepting others. Somehow we often think our judging and condemning others will somehow make them a better person. That our rejecting them will somehow cause them to become who we want them to be. And just saying that, you can see there's a certain flaw in that logic, and yet we often engage in that over and over again. We may argue with them, try to convince them to be different, to be, again, who we think they should be. Again, we spend a lot of time trying to make them what we want them to be than seeing who they are. We do that with ourselves as well. It's an extraordinary gift to actually let things be, let people be who they are. And many of us can spend years in relationships or with family being bitter and angry that people aren't who we want them to be. I see this with people and their parents punishing their parents for years for not being the parents that they wanted and needed. There may have been pain and hurt in the past, but there's eventually a place where we see them for who they are, and that's when real love arises. We can only accept in this moment, and it's not a one-time accepting, it's an ongoing, every moment, accepting the moment as it is, as it changes, as it evolves. This is from T.S. Eliot. What we know of other people is only our memory of the moments during which we knew them. And they have changed since then. We must also remember that at every meeting, we are meeting a stranger. So acceptance also becomes a way of the path, you might say, to living life fully. To not rejecting anything, to not rejecting what we think life shouldn't be and yet is. There's a kind of, often we carry a kind of arrogance in, and a lack of trust. A lack of trust of who we really are, and a lack of trust in the universe. We say it shouldn't be this way. And yet, what if we open to it again and again just as it is? There's a quote from the Course in Miracles that says, believing in your littleness, or believing in your wrongness in some way, believing in the not okayness of what is a kind of arrogance, because it's preferring your own opinion to God's. There's a kind of arrogance in rejecting reality, and there's a kind of freedom in beginning to accept it. There's a invitation to surrender, to open, to stop holding back into our small and closed off and fearful selves. And as we can open into this acceptance, there's greater, I would say, joy and kind of dancing with the greatness and the mystery and the unknown and the wonder. And despite the tragedies of what is, or maybe because of the tragedies of what actually is, there is a profound compassion and joy that arises as we open again and again more and more to the fullness of who we are, the fullness of the moment, the fullness of our experience, and rejecting and closing off to nothing. And the more we can relax into the openness of this kind of acceptance, the more we can actually listen and hear of all the other beings, the other human beings, the other non-human beings. Mostly in our rejecting and our judging, we're caught up in our own little self-absorbed story, and we're not actually hearing and receiving and learning from what's around us. This is from poet Gary Lawless. When the animals come to us asking for our help, will we know what they are saying? When the plants speak to us in their delicate, beautiful language, will we be able to answer them? When the planet herself sings to us in our dreams, will we be able to wake ourselves and act? Something I know from much experience, but particularly more recently, having been up in the wilderness last week, and a couple people are here who were there as well, is that there can be a profound teaching on acceptance, on that beingness and that presence from nature itself. The nature isn't playing the mental games that we play. It's not caught up in the clutter and clatter of our minds and our confusion. It's not caring about how we project our image, who we think we are. Trying to impress nature doesn't really work. Trying to get approval doesn't really work either. Trying to hide our failings and our shame becomes kind of useless and irrelevant in the natural world. Past hurts aren't important anymore. And we can find a profound relief from all of that by living in this immediate, vital, alive, dynamic, present environment where the mountains and the trees and the water and the insects and the birds and the bears are there to just be with you as you are right now. And with that relief comes a kind of vast openness, a space and an ease of a just being. So I'm going to end with this is from an Indian teacher. Bapuji, who I'm not familiar with. My beloved child, break your heart no longer. Each time you judge yourself, you break your own heart. You stop feeding on the love that is the wellspring of your vitality. The time has come, your time, to live, to celebrate, to see the goodness that you are. Let no one, no thing, no idea or ideal obstruct you. If one comes, even in the name of the truth, forget it, for it's unknowing. Forgive it, excuse me, for it's unknowing. Do not fight. Let go and breathe into the goodness that you are.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.